Blog Talk Radio.
Evangelical Protestant Bible study for Studio A here on this beautiful January evening. Well, morning in some places, I guess, evening in others. We are in beautiful downtown Lorain, Ohio. And they say we're supposed to be getting a lot of snow, but the grass is still poking through what we got hit here in downtown Lorain. So maybe east of us, maybe south of us, they got more, but here we've only got a little more than a trace, I think. But anyhow, we hope it's pleasant weather wherever you are, and if not, then you're inside listening to this broadcast, this Bible study. Tonight we are going to be doing John, the second epistle of John. Now, it's only one chapter, so that's why in the description I just put down the verses. 2 John 1 through 13, meaning verses 1 through 13. So, and yes, if I can talk on 50 verses like last Friday, I can figure out something out of this, the discernment out of this to speak about for 30 minutes. So it's going to be quite interesting. Well, I'm your host for this broadcast, the Patriarch of the Celtic Cross Foundation of Ministry, Andrew Patrick. And we have a special guest sitting in with us, going to do the Bible study with us. He won't be talking during the Bible study, but he has an opportunity right now to introduce himself and to give his prayer intention, and then we'll go into our other intentions and start our prayer and then the Bible study. So let me introduce to you...
I'm Brother Bob, in Mexico, in my quest that I hope I get myself and my family... Closer to God.
Amen. Getting family closer to God. And I love that because, ladies and gentlemen, I know some of you have heard this, but maybe some of you haven't. The old adage that goes, a family that prays together stays together. And you know something? There's truth in that statement because I have never seen a family that prays together break up. Okay? Not have the issues that many in society have today with their children. And that's another reason why I'm kind of enjoying 2nd Epistle of John today, because he talks about the children to a little degree, and it's quite interesting. So with that said, I would like us to remember Cardinal Paul Roberts in our prayer. He is still dealing with his stroke and his speech and things of that nature. I saw a message from him today, so... He's still able to get his thoughts out and to typewrite his messages. So God bless that small miracle in itself for what this man of God has gone through. We also lift up all of our clergy around the world, even clergy that is not of us, but walk in the light of Christ, not in their own way or the way of the world. I say it that way for a specific reason, because we know that the church is somewhat divided at this point, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So let us pray for the whole body of Christ, that it unites back together on the path of Christ and God's will for people's lives. And that is part of what John is going to be talking about in this message of discernment today. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters, our mothers, our fathers, for our dearly departed, and for the children of the world that are suffering around the world. We know that there is a lot of anxiety, a lot of tensions in the world. There is a war on extreme Islam. So we pray for the grace of God and the hand of God to come down hard and squash this remnant of evil from the face of the earth, if at all possible. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, God is more powerful than anything that man can do. And remember what God said, Christ says in Matthew chapter 10, do not fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one that can send the body and soul to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, that is God. So no matter what man does to you, be it good or evil, pray for them and ask God to show mercy upon them. And you will be blessed abundantly for doing so. So let us start there with our prayer. In the words that our Savior gave us, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brother Bob, I'm going to ask you to kind of watch that clock behind me while I do, because I'm not facing very good. Thank you. So Bob's going to be my little clock watcher today. And, oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, Brother Robert made a commitment to the church and to Christ this past week. He has now been accepted not only as a brother in the ministry, which he has been for quite some time, but he's taken the extra step to be one of our monks in one of our monasteries with the Order of St. Francis of Assisi. So we are so very blessed that he is going to do what he can to follow the ways of our Lord on a daily basis. And we encourage all of you to do so. If you'd like to know more about us, you can always go onto our website, www.CelticCrossMinistry.com. And there are plenty of places where you can send us a message. We'll be happy to send you an application and start that process of joining the ministry. So let's get on with the second epistle, John. And I'm going to say chapter 1 because it's the only chapter, verses 1 through 13. The elder. To the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Because of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Verse 4. I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Verse 6, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For if he greets him, shares in his evil deeds. Verse 12. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect love this very short 13-verse chapter, and believe it or not, the whole sermon can be made out of it very easily. We talk about, grab my cup of coffee here and get a swig from my voice. Thank you very much, Brother Robert. He just showed me his watch, so I know it's about 12 minutes after the hour right now. So we've got about 15, 18 minutes. So that's good. We can get through 13 verses in that much time. I'll probably even have a little time left over. Anyhow, in the very first verse in the opening, there's 2 points in verse 1 and 2 I'd like to make here. He says in the second part, he says, but also all of those who have known the truth. When he is talking about that, yes, he is writing this letter to a specific individual, but by stating that portion of the sentence, he is including everybody. And in that inclusion is you. You, the faithful, you, the one that loves Christ and tries your darndest every day to walk in his light. So that is where the second part of this comes in verse 2. He says, abides in us because of the truth which abides in us, meaning the word of God in us. And I double underlined and because it's kind of in two parts. One, the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Hallelujah, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Praise Jesus for that. Thank you, Father. Because in verse 3, we have that blessing. And I want you to hear how wonderful it is as I read it again, knowing what I just said about verse 1 and 2. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Wow, how special are you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to have that knowledge and understanding light up your day, your week, your month, your year, your life to heart. But, and there's always a but, there's some things that you have to remember about that. So let's move on so I don't transgress too far. In verse 4, we start off with the, just after the first verse, or into the first verse, he says, some, meaning not all, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, not all, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, some of your children walking in truth. He says, I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. Ladies and gentlemen, boys, look at our world today. We have done this to ourselves. We have not stood up for our rights as Christians. We have not stood up for Christ himself, nor have we stood up for the church, meaning the whole body of Christ, meaning every man, woman, and soul that lives and breathes and walks on this earth. We have let them down. Why? Because we've allowed liberals to take out God from the public place. We've allowed them to take God out of the schools, lest it be a Christian school. And even then, they come under attack. Ladies and gentlemen, we allowed this to happen. So it is all of our collectively fault that the world is in the shape that it's in today. Yes, yes, it's our fault. Now, the wonderful thing about this is we can change that one person at a time. It's going to take time, but we can do that. And it starts with the family, bringing Christ back into the family, bringing the Word of God regularly, bringing prayer daily, bringing the love and attention, the encouragement into our young one's life daily. That is how we are going to keep evil from them and keep them from doing evil. And we need to be more selective of what schools and universities our children go to. If we instill God into our hearts and we make it a daily thing, how can we send a child to a school, allow God to be shown forth in many ways? So, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I also rejoice that some of your children walk in the truth. But let's get it beyond just some. Let's try to make it all. Considering 2/3 of the world population does not know Jesus Christ, we have a lot of work to do. In verse 6, he says, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Ladies and gentlemen, we do need to walk in that light 24/7, 365. That means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Every single day, every single waking moment, we need to be doing this. And that is what shows love back to Christ. Now, are you really showing love to Christ when you only help somebody a little bit, or you go out of your way just to do this for a friend, let alone a stranger, something to help them? Yeah, you're showing Christ love, but you're not showing Christ the love of his true commandment to you, to love yourself, which is he is who is in you, as your neighbor and yourself. Your neighbor. Not your family, not the ones you like, not the ones that you work with, your neighbor. So look out for each other. And this is why. In verse 7, we have kind of a warning here. And I'm going to bring up two individuals that fit this to a T, and I'm sure you can come up with more. But the two I'm going to bring up are very notable around the world. But anyhow, in verse 7, he says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive the full reward. That's verse 8. And the ones that I'm going to mention here, Joel Osteen, Winfrey. Yes, I said it. Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey. They may say, "Oh, yes, we love Jesus and all that." but they are all about the prosperity. Give to me. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, look at their lives personally. Yes, they do good work around the world, but not for what they have. They should be living humbly with meekness as Christ lived. But no, they have a very lavish life and are worth millions upon millions upon millions of your dollars, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, because this is what St. John is talking about. As we go into verse 9, I want you to remember this, 9 and 10, especially this first part. He says, whoever transgresses, meaning falls away from the path of Christ, backslides. I know many of my evangelical brothers, Protestant brothers and sisters out here know what that means. We have left the grace of God. We are no longer in the grace of God, and we need to get back into the grace of God if we want the full reward, as John is talking about here. So he says, he goes on to say here in the first verse of, or first part of the verse of verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Period. Period. So you can't just have God sometimes, ladies and gentlemen. Pull him off your shelf just because you feel generous and you want to do something for somebody. Poppycock. You are not a Christian because you do not have God in you. You can call yourself a Christian, but you're no better than those who are the Antichrist. If it's convenient for you, and I know my words are harsh, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm trying to wake you up and make you see the light because you've been denied the truth by your own church for decades. Generations have been lied to, and they are still being lied to by people like Oprah Winfrey and Joel Osteen, and I'm sure you can come up with a few more. We've seen it over the year. We've seen these large tele-evangelical organizations crumble due to infidelity or mismanagement of funds. I mean, does anybody really need 2,000 pairs of shoes? Women, honestly? And if you say yes, then you are still in the world. And you are not of God, and God is not in you. I hate to say it that way, ladies, but air slap, it's reality. So let's go on. Verse 10. Well, no. Second part of verse 8, he says, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ, and here's the second part I want to make, has both the Father and the Son. I don't know about you, but I kind of like the idea of having God, the Father, and the Son, Jesus Christ, and their Holy Spirit inside of me. And I was telling one of our bishops the other day that whenever a finger is pointed out at somebody and you're judging them, look at your finger as you're pointing out and look what's facing back at you. And I call those the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In other words, you're judging. You are being judged by that same measure ye judge. So judge righteously according to the word of God, not man's law, because the word of God is above man's law. And how many people actually listen to the law of man? Did you know you cannot even spit on the sidewalk? It's against the law. You can't throw your trash out into the street. It's against the law. Out the window of your vehicle. It's against the law. You can't run naked down the street. It's against the law. But we have people do it all the time. Well, maybe not run naked down the street, but they sure do. Ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing to be poor and not have. It's another thing to have stupidity due to our own actions that deceive who we are and say we are. Ooh, did I just give you a revelation? Soul search. So let's move on here to verse. Anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor even greet him. Now that is a catch-22. Because how can you save a soul that's lost and still bear good fruit? Ladies and gentlemen, that's where the judgment of God comes in. And he leads you, because if you are truly walking in his light and his ways and understand his will, then you will have the full armor of God on, protecting you, including the Father and the Son, which abide in you, and have full measure to understand who to address and help and save, and whom not. There are some, and many in this world, that are just plain lost, and you will never be able to change them. And I'll give you an example. Extreme Islam, ain't no way you're going to convince them. It's going to take many, many, many years to get this old doctrine out of them, just as I am trying to help you get the old doctrine that you've been listening to decades out of your heart and open it up to the true divine word and doctrine of Jesus Christ. So, in virtual conclusion here, in verse 11, he says, "For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." And we need to be very careful there, ladies and gentlemen, with whom we get involved with. You've heard me say many a times, you are whom you associate with. You are whom you associate with. If you're down in the gutter, okay, it's okay to be in the gutter. But be careful who you're associating with, that they don't pull you deeper into that gutter. And if you're on the top of the mountain and there are some other folks up there, you better be careful of who you associate with on top of the mountain, because one of them could just push you off and say, the devil made me do it. But if you've got God and Christ in you, and you walk in his light in a saintly manner, and I do say that is difficult. I know. I try, and I even fail. But I continue to try whenever I do fall and stumble and backslide. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, lest ye cast your foot against a stone, God will be there for you. When you walk in his light, when you live according to his adulterated, misinterpreted, twisted doctrine, meaning the whole word. I said this once, I'll say it again. Christ came. People say, but the New Testament changed the Old Testament. Wrong. See, that's that doctrine that you've been dealt for all these decades, that is wrong. Christ came to enforce and reassure the Old Testament and gave a new commandment to love. And that love goes beyond our neighbor. It goes into our own personal lives, living according to his ways, which is showing love back to him. So keep that in mind. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the Patriarch of the Celtic Cross Foundation of Ministry here on The Sower. Please join me again next week for another study of Scripture. God bless.
And we'll see you again next week.
Ta-ta for now.